We had our Veterans Day chapel today, and a good time to think of our veterans and military and all the things that they've done. And I always like thinking back on those things. And you know, I was telling the kids in chapel the other day about when I was a kid, I used to watch Westerns with my dad. I don't know that kids do that anymore. But I used to watch all the, what they used to call the shoot 'em up movies. But anyway, we watched the Westerns and the war movies and all those kind of things. And you just, I remember as a boy thinking, I can't imagine what those soldiers were going through. Just unreal. You know, you think of when they come into the beaches of Normandy and that door dropped and you die. I mean, it's just unbelievable to think of what they went through and the bravery. And, you know, you can read all kinds of stories. I enjoy doing that. I know Pastor does. He talks about them all the time. He gets into reading the history of, you know, Audie Murphy. Is that the one that won the Medal of Honor and all those awesome things that he did, the courageous things? And when I think of the military, it made me think about a phrase in the Bible. And it's a little phrase you've heard before. I don't know if we'll get to all of it tonight or not, but the little phrase is simply stand fast. Maybe you've heard of that word before, and now we don't, you know, talk maybe that way much anymore. It's an older style of language, but what it means is to really to be firm where you're standing and to be constant. I started looking at it. It's a Greek word, stikete. I'll put up our little logo here, stand fast, and I'm going to put some verses on the board so that way, since it's, you know, 7:45, you start drifting off, you can. Maybe the board will flash at you or something because our technology never seems to work. And that will wake you up. But it's the word stikete, and it means to stand firm, to stand fast. There's all kinds of pressures. There's all kinds of oncoming attacks. I was actually reading about Audie Murphy and how he led his men, and he told them to fall back, and they fell back because his tank got exploded with the bombs and things. And he jumped up on top of the tank that was on fire, took a 50 caliber machine gun, and was shooting all the Germans that were coming from a variety of angles at him to protect his men as they fled. And so here's all these pressures coming at you, and what was he doing? Standing fast, standing firm. And we think of that, of course, in a military sense, but it means or implies that if we're told that we have to stand fast and stand firm, that implies that there is an attack. And I want you to think about that as we go through some verses tonight. There is something that is the antithesis. There's something opposite of what we're supposed to stand in that is trying to get us off track. And those are some of the things that the Scriptures talk about. I want to look at several usages in the New Testament. The first one, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I did these in the order of the New Testament, and there's a variety of other passages where this word is used, but I just selected four or five. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and you know this verse. It's an excellent verse that I think we should even proclaim from the housetops in our own generation today. Chapter 16, verse 13, because we live in the day of weakness. It's disappointing that you see weakness all around. You see caving. You see cowering. You see fear around. But look what this verse says in chapter 16, verse 13. You know the verse. Watch ye. That means be on the lookout, obviously. Then here's our word, stikete. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men and be strong. You know, my dad used to always tell me, boy, you need to grow up and be a man. Sometimes I catch myself saying that to my boys. And I'm like, man, my dad's coming out in me. And that's probably not a good thing. Because I like to pick on my dad and we go back and forth, but I am becoming him, I'm afraid. And it's very disappointing to my wife, but that's okay. Watch ye, stand fast, be a man, be a man. But in order to do that, you've got to stand fast in something. And in this particular verse, we're told to stand fast in faith, the faith, not just the ability to believe, but stand fast in the faith. And you think about, what does that mean? What is the faith? It's all the doctrines of God's Word. It's all the beliefs that you know as a Christian. All, if you want to say, the truth of God. The truth of the Bible. And you know, we've talked about this before. Truth is an objective reality. Truth exists whether we like it or not, or whether we believe it or not. Truth exists even if we don't care about reality. It still is there. And so man goes on these quests and all these things to find out what's real and what's true and when all these things. And God really doesn't care about our opinion. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but God doesn't need our opinion to validate His truth. It's already objectively there. He has thankfully allowed us to discover the truth. We read His Word, we can discover the truth, but we've got to stand fast in the faith, in the beliefs of the Christian life, in the truth. And it implies that there is an attack on the faith. If you're supposed to stand fast in the faith, then something is attacking that faith. And so I'm going to put on the other side, the right side, what could possibly be attacking some of these things. So we're supposed to stand fast in the faith. Well, what is attacking the faith? Things such as the philosophy of the world, or heretical belief systems that are anti-biblical, or that take the Bible and twist the scriptures. We dealt with this on Sunday night about the Sophia wisdom of the Corinthians. They were looking for wisdom and philosophy and theories and all these different things that somehow we can find an idea of truth by looking at our own mind, at our own intellect. Well, there's all kinds of theories out there. You know, I've studied some of them in the education world. There's the constructivist theory that, you know, reality, you know, we say reality exists. Truth exists, and God allows us to discover that truth and to learn that truth. Well, constructivist says, well, truth is whatever you make it to be. So each of us could construct our own idea, our own reality of truth, our own reality of God, if there is one. Because, you know, you may say there is one, but you don't have to. That's okay. Well, not anymore. It's not. Because if you say there is, then they attack you. But that's another topic for another time. But the idea is we can just make up what we want. And that's truth to me. I can't stand this little thing. It just drives me nuts when people say, well, that's my truth. Well, I've arrived at my truth. Well, my truth is what ends... People sends them to hell. I'm sorry. If you don't have the truth of God, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of His Word, that's the truth that matters. And my truth, and I've arrived at this, it's philosophy and it's heretical. It's things that we're trying to come up with in our own mind, in our society. Or there's other ideas. You maybe heard of this, a critical pedagogy. I know it's a big word, but it's actually because of those theories that started 30 or 40 years ago, this is why we have critical race theory. This is why we have the feminist theory, the queer theory, all those kind of things that they shove down young people's throats in our educational system. But it says that society should construct what your reality is. What's going on socially at the time, that should construct it. And in order to find out, you have to look at the oppressed. You have to look at those whose voices have been diminished, and you have to empower them. And so that's kind of what truth is. Truth is allowing oppression to be empowered. That's why you see such a big push for these things in our society today. But they're not looking at the biblical view of standing fast in the faith. And if now there ever is a time for us as Christians to stand fast in the faith, it is now. There's a variety of philosophies that are trying to attack and tear down the faith of Christianity, the belief of the Lord Jesus Christ, the belief of truth. There's attacks coming from all sides. And in our nation, we're sadly seeing, as the Bible says, truth is fallen in the streets. We don't see a desire for truth anymore. We don't see a desire for what God's Word says. And so there's these attacks. But as Christians, we're told that we have to be firm and constant in the face of pressure to stand fast in the faith. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. This is one that you know well. Galatians chapter 5, stand fast in liberty. Chapter 5, verse 1. Again, you know this verse. It's another stand fast, our Greek word stakete. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There is nothing more exhilarating or free. You know, our world likes talks about being free. What does the Bible say about freedom? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and realizing there was no greater joy in my heart when I realized one day that Christ has done it all. Christ did it. And so we can grow up, you know, in Christianity. We can grow up Christian home, Christian church, Christian school, and we're just checking all the boxes. And I'm doing this, and I'm conforming. I'm doing everything just the way it's supposed to be. But that doesn't mean you know the truth. And when you realize Christ did it all, I'm trying so hard over here. Well, God doesn't accept what I try to do. He accepts what Christ already did for us. And then we believe that. We accept what Christ has done in our hearts, how He's changed us. And we have that freedom and that liberty to live in Christ. And it says here, what is the antithesis of that? It's the bondage of sin. It's the bondage of sin. Let's look at a couple other verses related to this. We can look back to the Gospel of John. If you can't get there, just listen to this verse. John chapter 8. Again, this is that same passage where Christ says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But let's continue on and look at a verse under this. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Again, they're going back to what their pedagogy is or what their religion is. That's what's going to, they don't realize that that's what puts them into bondage. Verse 34, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You know where bondage is? Right there in sin. You're committing sin and you're a slave to it. You're bound to it. Verse 35, "The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever." Verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You want to be free from the penalty of sin? You want to be free from the bondage of sin? You want to be free from the gripping power of sin? Then turn to Christ. Stand fast in that liberty. Don't allow religion or doing or works or whatever it might be in your mind and heart that think, "You know, I'm doing these great things for God, so therefore I'm on the right track." Well, we need to do things for the Lord, but that's not what brings us salvation in Christ. Stand fast in the liberty. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Go over to Romans chapter 6. Another familiar passage, Romans chapter 6. Listen to these verses again. You know them. Verse 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey?" If you're just yielding yourself to sin all the time, guess what? You're in bondage. You have a master over you. "Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness," verse 17, "but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Verse 18, here it is. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. When the Lord sets us free and delivers us from sin, we then realize something. That our Lord loves us and cares for us and gave himself for us, and we willingly become the servants of righteousness. That's where true liberty is. That's true freedom. But the opposite is this bondage of sin. And again, sin is going to try to attack. Our word is stand fast. Well, what am I standing firm against? The onslaught of sin and religion even. That's trying to convince me it's unreal in, even in Christianity or fundamentalism or whatever in Christian churches, of the bondage sometimes that, well, you've got to do this and you have to do things this way, and it's this checklist of things. That's bondage. That's bondage. One who realizes what Christ done in our heart, we naturally want to serve the Lord. And we want to conform to Christ. And we want to live for Christ rather than being in a bondage of a system of works. Let's look at the third one, Philippians chapter 1. Our pastor preached through this book this year, or two or three, or however long it was. It's okay. Really enjoyed it. Verse 27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." To stand fast in one spirit, one mind, and striving together. This is to stand fast in unity. You know what the devil loves to do? He loves to divide. That's what the attack is. I put the words there as well, because many times we use our words to divide people, don't we? And manipulate and move and make sides. If you don't believe that happens, just come spend a day in middle school with me. You'll see it very clearly. About manipulation and drama and all those fun things that Miss Pepper misses so much. So she actually maybe does. I don't know. I do. All right, but that's it's part of our, really, it's our sin nature. The devil loves us to just get in there and divide and manipulate and use our words. And Paul is saying, as God's people in the church, we should be standing firm against the onslaught of division. Division. It's so easy in our minds to fall into that trap, to this against this, and this person against this person, this idea against this idea, and dividing. And Paul is saying we need to stand fast in unity. You've heard this verse, it's just a couple pages back in your Bible, but listen, in chapter 4 of Ephesians, endeavoring to keep the what? You know it. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The opposite of that, the antithesis of that is this, the tongue, division. And Satan is trying his hardest to divide God's people, to divide a church body, to make people so preoccupied with the things that are minor, and to make big things and divide and have teams and sides and all this. Paul's saying we got to stand fast, stand together, one spirit, one mind, striving together for the gospel, working together for the gospel. Quickly, I hope I can finish. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8, a very simple one, and it says to stand fast in the Lord. Flip a couple pages over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is also mentioned in Philippians chapter 4, but we'll look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 8. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Now, sounds very simple. To stand fast in Christ. Now, what would be the antithesis of that? Why would you have to stand fast in Christ? What is the attack coming at you? And here's what it is. Yourself or even the world. Satan wants nothing more than to get you off track of the Lord. He doesn't want our lives preoccupied with the Lord. He doesn't want us serving and doing things, whatever He's called us to do. He doesn't want us to serve in a Christian school for Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to serve in a community outreach program for Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to say anything at your job for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to live for yourself and live for the world. There is such a loud push in our, it's a huge attraction in our own culture even, for young people. Oh, I want to live for myself. I want to make money. I want to have this. I want to have that. And it's all about things and me and how to get things. And serving God hardly crosses our mind, unfortunately, in our culture today. And the Lord is, and Paul is saying, we've got to live and stand fast, firm in the Lord. What does our life revolve around? Our pastor's been speaking about this. What does it revolve around? Is it all about me? Is it all about how I can be happy in the world? Is it all about the things I can get, the pleasures I can enjoy? Or is it about standing fast in the Lord? We need to recommit our purpose, is what this verse is saying. To recommit our purpose to serve the Lord. Then as our time goes out, just one more. Flip over a page to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 15. Now, in this chapter, he's talking about the falling away, the coming apostasy that is before the Antichrist is revealed. And notice in verse 15, in light of all of this that's going on, and the world is crumbling, and the Antichrist is coming, and there's a lot of false, terrible things, verse 11, God is going to send a strong delusion. We live in days of great delusion. Literal lies. And people believe them. And guess what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says it is? It's satanic. It is preparing for Antichrist system. Now, God's allowing it. God's in control. He knows what's going on. But He's going to cause them to believe the lie of the devil. That lie is Satan's lie. And God's allowing it to happen. But look in verse number 15. Therefore, brethren, because everybody's believing this lie and this delusion, you need to stand fast. This isn't a time for cowardice. This isn't a time for fear. This isn't a time to worry about what people are going to think. It's time to stand fast and then hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. The things you've been taught, stand fast in knowledge. In knowledge of what? In knowledge of God's Word. In knowledge, as we said earlier, of the Christian truth, of biblical truth, of the Christian life principles. Don't believe the lies. It's so easy. Well, everybody else is. Our culture is going that way. We just need to, it's not worth the battle. It's not worth it. Just give in. It's okay. That is exactly what Satan is hoping people do. And we don't have to give in to just say, well, I'll just believe what Satan says. No big deal. We better stand fast in the knowledge and the truth that we know, because on the other side of that, the delusion is coming in like a flood. It's taken over our cultures. It's taken over our societies. It's taken over our nation. The delusion. The Lord is allowing it to happen. Should we be surprised? No, we shouldn't be surprised that people believe the delusion. But that doesn't mean we as believers are required to. It's time for us to stand fast so that our children can see the truth, so that we can allow others around us to see the truth. And maybe God will allow some of them to be delivered from this delusion. It says it back in verse 11, there's strong delusion, they're going to believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Now it's harsh, but that's what's going to happen. But there might be some that don't believe the lie. And if we're standing fast, they can see the gospel. They can see the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what happened to the Thessalonians in verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we stand fast in the days of delusion and of self and division and sin and philosophies, if we stand firm, God can use us to allow others to come to Christ, to be a witness, to be a testimony, to speak the truth of the gospel and allow God to work in the hearts of people. Father, thank you for our time tonight, just a brief time to look at this little study of this word. And Father, there's so much in this, so many different facets, and our responsibility, Lord, in days of weakness and in days of fear, that we need to stand fast on what we know is right. The easiest thing to do is to cave. The easiest thing to do is just give up. But Lord, we've got to do right. You've called us to do right. You've called us to stand firm in what is right. And that right and truth comes from your word and the things you revealed. Help us to know it. Help us to be faithful to you and to stand firm against the variety of things that come. Pray you bless each one here tonight and our families. Give us a good night, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Lord bless you.